First part of session 98. Let's get here into personal material of the LNL research group. Let's begin. So this entire session is dedicated to personal material. It was excluded from the original books and it was added then in the fifth book. It's one of the few sessions. Actually, as we move on to the last sessions, we'll find more and more that this is the case because they started using more of the sessions for personal situations that were going on. And if you have been following at this point, then you've seen that most of the material that is for spiritual evolution, metaphysics, and of course, anything that has to do with personal growth has already been settled, and we're only just talking about the archetypical mind. And at this point, we begin to see more and more what was unwinding as time went on, and with LNL group, Don, Carla, and Jim. So this is, in essence, dedicated to that. I have nothing actually to refresh you on, but to remember that they were going through a specific struggle right now with moving to another house. That's what the whole ritual cleansing of a couple of sessions ago was going on. So they were having some struggles, and we're just going to see more of that as the questions go by. And we're going to talk about cats. They're cats, second density life form. So let's begin with the first question that I usually have. I wish I could cover this in one episode, but I'm still going to do it in two. First question, Don says, could you first please give me the condition of the instrument? Ra says, the physical energy deficit has somewhat increased. The vital energy distortions are somewhat improved. Don follows up and says, We eliminated our meditation prior to the session. Would Ra comment on that? Ra says, the purpose of preparation for a working is the purification of each entity involved with the working. The removal of a portion of this preparation has a value determined by the purity of each, which takes part in the working, has achieved without that particular aid. So this sounds complicated, but it isn't. So they used to meditate before a session and they didn't this time. And so Don is asking, what was the effect of this? And Ra says, the purpose of preparation for a working, not only meditation, but everything else, is to, in essence, enable you to be focused and determined and offering yourself to the working. That's what I interpret to be purification of each entity involved with the working. So you kind of set the intention, focus your mind on this, and dedicate your whole essence to it. So that's it. However, the removal of meditation, which is that portion of the preparation, has a value that is determined by everybody. So let me put it this way. Don, Carla, and Jim had a capacity or a capability that was, without meditation prior to the working, they had a sort of capability. With meditation, they had another capability. So without meditation, that capability, that's exactly what they were working with. So in essence, they were working with their capacity up to that point without meditation. I hope that makes sense. Sounds a little complicated, but it isn't. And that's basically it. I can't say anything else. Next question, question three. Don says, I had just taken a wild guess that it was possibly during that meditation prior to the working that was used by our fifth density negative friend to create the allergic reactions an other in the instrument. Was I correct on that or incorrect? Ra says, this entity greets the instrument as close to the working in your space-time continuum as is practicable. The elimination of that preparation caused the fifth density entity to greet this instrument at this juncture of decision not to meditate. The greeting does not take what you would call a noticeable amount of your time. So, more details about how this happens. I think we know from a prior session that the negative entity would do its effect always almost prior to Carla entering trance. So that's what we're seeing here again. Ra is repeating something they said in the past about, the entity in essence activating that which is counterproductive to the session in Carla. I think they talked about this in terms of her pain flares, something that they affected in Carla's body, and that created the possibility for pain flares during the session. So they do the same thing. The elimination of meditation caused the fifth density entity to greet Carla, in essence, at that moment in which she decided not to meditate. So it seems like the decision to not meditate would affect even more, the session. So was that the case? Did she do wrong by not wanting to meditate and then open herself to an attack, as some people call it? And we'll answer that question in the next one. And then the last thing that Ra says is that the greeting does not take what you would call a noticeable amount of your time, which is just another piece of information of how this works. It's not, it doesn't take much time. It activates right away. I guess it's just like a thought. A thought happens in the moment, suddenly. It doesn't take time for you to develop a thought. A thought just comes in, and there it is. It's coloring your experience, and then it goes away, as usual. So, okay, was that a problem that Carla decided not to meditate and then get greeted or attacked by this entity? In question four, Don asks this question and says, was the greeting as effective as it would have been if the meditation had been done? And Ra says, yes. So regardless of her being able to meditate or not before the session, the greeting was possible. I keep saying that this is an important point because what we have, whatever sensitivity we have to negative impressions, we're always going to have it at any point. Yes? If we work out those negative impressions, that sensitivity to it, then it goes away. And so this is why the process of you accepting yourself with all your distortions, all your negative things, is to alleviate initially and then over time gradually release that sensitivity to that, because there is no self-attack. You see, I've gotten some people who've questioned this in the past, because I say that, of course, there is no such thing as a separate entity from you that is attacking you. And this comes from the idea, of course, that there is separation, and it's a very strong one, so I understand it. But ultimately, we cannot live in contradiction. We cannot say that all is one, I am that one, and yet there are things that are not me that are doing this damage to me. So again, it's a leap of faith for a lot of people. I don't expect it to be a leap of faith, but just something that it is rationally understood and then finally corroborated within yourself. This second step may be a little bit more difficult because you require guidance and showing why. Not everybody needs it, but some people do, or the vast majority of us do. But that that sameness with the negativity that you are inviting, yeah, that's still you. You know, that's it's not something separate. And so I like that actually in the beginning of this, the commentary on this session from Carla. Let me see if I can find it. But there is a part where she says, and I'm just going to read it. She says, "I have not ceased being greeted." This was in 1996, I think, when she wrote this. "I have not ceased over time being greeted. It is just that I deal with it, as does Jim, with respect and acknowledging it, and discipline in allowing it to pass quickly without judgment." And here's the key part where she says, "Knowing the negative essence behind it as part of myself that I love." So these are Carla's words. And you know, she was dealing with this to the highest degree, of course, with the fifth density negative entity. And so I find it curious, of course, that even Carla admitted it. You know, she knows, and that's the reason why they started calling it a greeting and not an attack, because that would create the idea that there is, you know, a separate entity attacking you. Whereas, you know, it's a greeting, it's an encounter, it's a meeting of, you know, two opposing energies, basically. You know, that's because there is contradiction in our thoughts and the deepest portion of our minds. The reason why we can't control this, or we're not in control of it, actually we're not in control of anything, but the illusion of control is even far more removed than this, is because it's part of our deep mind. So it's not something that, you know, we can say, "Oh, I'm actively doing it." It's just happening, and all you need to do is accept it. The more you reject it, the more you are rejecting yourself, and the more, of course, you open yourself to more of this influence. So the sensitivity increases. So what's the solution? The opposite: to reduce the sensitivity, then instead of trying to control it or reject it, you accept it and say, you know, that's part of everything, it's fine. That is a very truncated and limited way of saying it. That's not a practice that I'm telling you how to do it. It's just the result of becoming acceptance itself. You don't accept more, you become acceptance. But far from me to try to delve into this topic, I'm just suggesting that that's the logical thing to do based on what we know. And so again, I appreciate that Carla actually made that comment almost 30 years ago, and she knew that this was part of herself. So again, everybody can see it their own way. This is how I see it. This is how it makes sense with everything else considered. We would have to eliminate certain considerations about the model of reality if we are to believe that no, there are demons and there are negative entities, and I'm here who is battling them to eventually ascend into oneness. So if that's the story you want to tell yourself, then that's great, but it doesn't conform with the idea that you are already one with everything. You're putting yourself as a limited being, and that's fine. That's just what people decide. That's what it is. But with the knowledge and awareness that it is incompatible with a higher truth. And that's all I'm going to say. Next question. It's going to be a very, very long one. I think this is it. So, yeah, there are many paragraphs. This is probably one of the longest questions we have, or answers from Ra. So let's enjoy this. Oops, moved too fast. There it is. Question 5, Dawn says, I have a question from the instrument. She states, could Ra tell us what factors are allowing our fifth density negative companion to be able to continue greeting the instrument in the throat area as well as with other unusual sensations such as dizziness, smelling of orange blossoms, the feeling of stepping on imaginary creatures, and what can be done to lessen these greetings, and why the greetings occur on walks? So, right from the beginning, we can see that there is one symptom that doesn't sound too bad. You know, the smelling of orange blossoms. It's like when people, just like when people say, "Oh, I suddenly felt a scent of flowers," or you know, my mother's perfume or something like that. And we just know that it's not bad at all. It's just something good. So we'll get to that point. Like I said, this is a long answer. So let's read many questions, and Ra is going to answer them very specific. So Ra says, there are various portions of the query. We shall attempt answer to each. I don't know why Ra at this point began talking so even more truncated, I guess. We shall attempt to answer to each. Why not say, we shall attempt to answer each? I don't know. We tread close to the law of confusion, saved only by the awareness that given lack of information, this instrument would, nonetheless, continue to offer its service. So, let's go paragraph by paragraph. It won't take me long. So, Ra says, okay, there are many parts of this question, because there are several questions, and although they are treading close to the law of confusion by abridging free will, they know that regardless, Carl is going to continue offering her service. So they're saying, fine, even though we may say many of these things, we know Carl is going to continue, so we're not affecting her free will. She's determined already. Nothing could dissuade her. So, okay, let's see what all these answers are. Ra says, the working of your fifth density companion, which still affects the instrument, was, as we have stated, a potent working. The totality of those biases which offer to the instrument opportunities for increased vital and physical strength, shall we say, were touched by the working. So they're setting the stage, in essence, by saying that this situation has affected Carla in her vital and physical energies. That's, in essence, all they said. It's very potent, the work that fifth density negative entities are doing. Again, this is, of course, a sort of balance between the work that Carla was doing with sixth density energies. She was, in a way, and this is what's so demanding about the whole situation, is that, in a way, Carla was dealing with higher energies than she knew she was able to deal with. You see, for this kind of work, I'm not saying that it should have been this way, but I guess a most balanced and safe way to do it is somebody who has been initiated and totally dedicated to this, maybe their whole life. That would be, I guess, the best case scenario. But Carla was just somebody else like us. You know, she even said it. We were shocked that we were able to do this contact, because we consider ourselves to be, you know, three normal people. Like, we didn't grow up in a mystical tradition. We didn't get initiated in this or that, and we didn't practice magical abilities and so on. This was all, you know, a big chance, you know, that happened, which is, to me, it makes it even more amazing. So yeah, that's what's happening. The capacity for doing this this effect is very big. Now here we get into some personal material of what was happening. Ross says the Blu-ray difficulties were not entirely at an end after the first asking. Again, this group experienced blockage rare to the group, that is, the Blu-ray blockage of unclear communication. By this means, the efficacy of the working was reinforced. So what with this Blu-ray blockage difficulty? It's because they didn't communicate well about the moving into the new house in Atlanta. If they would have been a little bit more honest and talked about it, maybe they didn't have, she would not have had the difficulties that she was experiencing. I guess she didn't say something, she held on to it, and I think in the last session Ross suggested talk about it. They didn't say it explicitly, but it was implicit in what they were saying. Talk about it. It's best that, you know, it's discussed by the group, but they didn't, I guess. And in any case, that's the Blu-ray blockage that they were experiencing. And Carla, of course, being sensitive as she was affected the most. So, yeah, that we're not entirely at an end. And yes, that difficulty of not communicating was not ended in the last time they asked, so they were still experiencing this lack of communication between them. That's why it's so important to communicate yourself. And, you know, now that I speak about this, let me leave you with a reflection. See, the reason why we want to be fully honest is not because we want to, it's a side effect that other people will appreciate your honesty. And, you know, it'll set them aright. That's a good side effect. But the main thing, why we want to be honest, is because we want to always listen to ourselves. Let me put it this way. In meditation, there is no way you can be dishonest with yourself. You're always listening to yourself, right? And so if you're open in meditation and you're honest with what's happening, you're open to it. That allows you to listen to your true self. Whereas if you're dishonest, which very difficult to do in meditation, if you're dishonest, but you can still, I guess, try to recycle old stories and tell yourself this and that, which is not really meditation. but this, I wanted to say this because that's how you learn about yourself, because you allow this, it's not even honesty at this point, it's just what is. You listen to what is. You listen to yourself, you listen to what's happening within. That's how you learn, you see? And by learning more about yourself, you expand yourself. Whereas if now in communication with other people, if you do the same thing, you will learn a lot more about you because you're expressing yourself as you are. And so you can develop, you can evolve, you can expand, whatever you want to call it. You're just learning more about yourself and you're developing. Yes, you're allowing this to unfold. Whatever it is that is you, it's unfolding. That's because of honesty. Striving towards honesty allows this to be more pure, more real, no BS, as we would say. Whereas if, of course, you're not honest with other people and you're just recycling thoughts or patterns and behaviors and things that it's not true honesty, then what would happen is that you will not learn about yourself. You will just repeat cycles of things that you're not. So you see, you're not learning about yourself, so you're not developing yourself, and that allows you to be stagnant. And this is not like one whole thing. There are areas in your life where you're dishonest. As you have to pick those and see, why am I being dishonest here? And dishonesty means that even, you know, when you feel like you want to give a specific answer, you don't, because of fear, because of whatever it is. It's always fear of expressing yourself. So I'm just going to leave that there because it's a reflection that I recently had, and it's a true understanding of what we're here for. We're here to express ourselves. And the thing is that we are the easiest to be fooled into thinking that we already are very honest. We have to accept all the dishonesty that we have cultivated, unfortunately, over time. But that's why we're here. Okay, let's move to the next paragraph. Ross says, "The potential of this working is significant. The physical exercising, the sacred music, the varieties of experience are indeed, and indeed simple social intercourse are jeopardized by a working which attempts to close the throat and the mouth. It is to be noted that there is also the potential for the loss of this contact." So, I don't know what that last part means specifically. Like, what is the potential for losing the contact? All the way to death, I guess, but also the blockage of the throat and the mouth. Well, obviously, wouldn't allow Ra to speak. So maybe that. But what they're saying also is that the physical exercising, all the activities that she liked doing, for example, she liked to go for walks. That was affected. Sacred music, which she liked to sing and listen, I'm sure. That was also affected. Don't ask me how. And the varieties of experience, even social intercourse, which she loved doing. She mentioned in the commentary here that she liked to go out with her girl friends. So, yeah, even that was being affected by this. And I can only imagine when you feel so closed up, the feeling is not nice. You know, you feel like you're not yourself anymore. You have something to say and you never say it. And you feel this frustration inside. So everything else will be affected. Simple enjoying of music can be affected because you can't let this this thing go. It's running around in your mind. That's just my guess. So let's move to the next part. Like I said, this is a very long answer. Ross says, "We suggest that the instrument's allergies create a continuous means whereby the distortion created by the magical working may be continued. As we have stated, it shall be necessary, in order to remove the working, to completely remove the distortion within the throat area caused by this working. The continuous aggravation of allergic reactions makes this challenging." Yes, so now we're going to tackle a bit her condition, her physical condition, and there will be some mention about treatment and stuff like that. They have to remove, in order to remove the working, they need to remove the distortion within the throat area caused by this working. So I know there is physical effect, but also maybe the communication between them is what Ross suggested here, right? I'm not sure. But yeah, the continuous aggravation of her allergic reactions in the body, of course, makes it challenging. Okay, next part. They say, "The orange blossom is the odor which you may associate with the social memory complex of fifth density positive, which is known to you as sound vibration La Tui. This entity was with the instrument as requested by the instrument. The odor was perceived due to the quite sensitive nature of the instrument, due, again, to its, shall we say, acme in the 18th cycle." Yes, I also thought about acme, the Roadrunner and Coyote fake company. That's funny. Acme actually means the highest point, the apogee of, that's a translation I have in Spanish, apogee, which means, for example, if the Earth in its orbit, I think it's for anything really. Apogee is just for any in orbital movement, when you are at the farthest point of the orbit, so the farthest point of Earth in relation to the Sun or the Moon from the Earth. All things that orbit have an apogee, and I think it's a perigee. I know in Spanish it's perigeo, which means closer to. And so in any case, here they're talking about, this is biorhythms, by the way. When they talk about the 18-day cycle, they're talking about the adept cycle, which is 18 days. And it's a sine wave, I think it's what it's called, which means that, let's see, there's 4.5 days, if you start from the beginning, 4.5 days, which reaches its peak at 100%, then another 4.5 days to return to baseline, then another, that's 9 days, right? And then it dips down to 4.5 days to the bottom, to the lowest point, and then 4.5 days to baseline again, to 0%. And so there is, at the top, 100%, at the bottom, minus 100%. And so I think they were talking about, if it's the apogee or the acme, then it would be the top, not the bottom. So, could be the bottom too, but I don't think so. I think it's the top. If we knew the specific date, then we could actually plot that because we have Carla's birthday. So, birth date. But yeah, that's what they're saying here. The odor, oh, and the odor is a fifth density social memory complex. They have a lot of channeling from Latui. I would recommend that you go in the description, always links, go to LNL research and read some of the conscious channeling. Latui was a conscious channeled entity. I don't think they channel them anymore, only Kuo. But in the old days, they used to channel Latui. And for those of you who know or may not know, Kuo is actually made out of three entities, Hatton, Latui, and Ra. So Ra is still pouring their essence through Kuo, but it's not, of course, the same Ra social memory complex, only them speaking. So it's kind of always mixed with the other energies of Latui and Hatton. In any case, Latui, very interesting read. They have a language that is a little bit like Ra, but a little bit more grounded. Way more grounded, of course, than Ra, but close to a language that resembles the way Ra speaks. And then Hatton, who is fourth density, actually, they speak very, I guess, colloquially, very human. You know, they're very relatable to us, and they're all about love and all this. But it's interesting to see their personalities as you read them. So go ahead, read it. It's interesting stuff. They always give us good information. So all right, that smell, that scent that she had was Latui. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning of the question that that's not a bad thing. Okay. So they say, the sensation of stepping upon the small animal and killing it was a greeting from your fifth density negative companion, also made possible by the above circumstance. As to the removal of the effects of the magical working, we may make two suggestions, one immediate and one general. We'll get to those suggestions. I have no idea what that feeling is of, I guess, thinking that you're stepping on small animals, insects maybe rodents, I don't know. But she was feeling this somehow, and it was like a mirage or an illusion of perception. So this was also an effect from the fifth density negative entity. Why? I don't know. Maybe it would startle her. Anything that causes us to lose our equanimity and balance, that's a negative influence. So we know what to do with that. Yes? I hope so. Okay, so let's see what these two suggestions are. Ra says, firstly, within the body of knowledge which those healers known among your peoples as medical doctors have is the use of harsh chemical substances, which you call medicine. These substances almost invariably cause far more changes than are intended in the mind-body-spirit complex. However, in this instance, the steroids or, alternately, the antibiotic family might be useful in the complete removal of the difficulty within which the working is still able to thrive. All right, so this is the first suggestion that they give. Very long answer. I think it's very informative about medicine, allopathy, or allopathy, I don't know. Our modern medicine, basically, made out of chemicals. Again, this is not something new. It's just interesting that Ra also knows it when they say that. So many things they said here. So medical doctors use harsh chemical substances, which you call medicine. Doesn't sound like medicine to me. These substances almost always cause more, I would say, damage than any healing. We know about this, of course. I don't need to spend too much time explaining this. So, I mean, they don't say damage, but they say changes. I like that. I'm not going to say damage here and twist their words. But they say far more changes than intended. Again, we know that we take medicine or drugs or whatever you want to call them, these chemicals. And while they do obviously cause a flood effect in whatever part of the system to alleviate symptoms, they are the damaging or disturbing. Let me say disturbing. A disturbance doesn't need to be damage directly, but enough disturbance would definitely cause some issues in the tissue. So we know that. All right. Now they say, however, in this instance, they may be helpful. Antibiotics. Carla mentioned in the commentary here that it was a course of antibiotics that she took and that helped her with her throat, I believe it was, right? Where she was having these allergic reactions. Steroids are also, I guess, useful in this situation because they, if I'm thinking correctly, steroids in this case would alleviate the inflammation, the swelling of the tissue, that particular part of the throat. So I know about that actually because I had asthma. Believe it or not, nothing worked on me. I mean, I tried from even homemade stuff with aloe and honey and all kinds of things. But my problem was that my lungs were, they were irritated and they were swollen. So my capacity of breathing was reduced, sometimes even to like 20 or 30%. Just getting up from bed felt like I was, I just came out of running. So just lying still, sitting, breathing was very limited. So I know some of you relate to this, know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm mentioning it because the only thing that worked for me was steroids. I had to take steroids, literally, whether it be injected or taken orally. What other kind of steroids did I take? I don't know. But yeah, anti-inflammatory steroids. And they worked. They were like magic. I don't get asthma anymore, thankfully. But even in my adult, I mean, I was still in my 30s when I would get debilitating asthma. But things change somehow. I don't get sick, fortunately. And yeah, I don't take medicine. If I were to take it, I mean, I'm not against it, but we know how much damage they do or disturbance. Anyhow, let's move to the next question. And that was an allergy, actually, by the way. That was an allergic reaction to certain things, especially pollen here in the north in spring, which is coming. And also getting sick with a virus or a cold. So, yeah. Okay, so let's move to the next part and hopefully we can finish this question today. Ross says, of course, the allergies would persist after this course of medicine were ended, but the effects of the working would no longer come into play. The one you call Jerome might well be of aid in this somewhat unorthodox medical situation. I'm going to read the next one. As allergies are quite misunderstood by your orthodox healers, it would be inappropriate to subject the instrument to the services of your medical doctors, which find the amelioration of allergic effects to be connected with the intake of these same toxins in milder form. This, shall we say, treats the symptom. However, the changes offered to the body complex are quite inadvisable. So once again, Ra is... I'm not sure, I guess a doctor could explain this better than me, but it seems like some doctors use... I'm not well informed in all of this, but antihistamines are the anti-allergic, right? To ameliorate the allergic effects is antihistamines, but that's not the same toxin in milder form, is it? An antihistamine is just a blocker of histamine receptors, isn't it? I don't know. So I don't dare to break this down, but it seems that Ra suggests again that our medical doctors use inappropriate ways to reduce this, and may have to do with the fact that, you know, they don't attack the root cause. And that's because we don't know, you know, like they say, we're, at least in the 80s, I think it's the same case now. I'm not up to date, but it seems like it's the same. I don't think we have evolved too much from medicine. But yeah, allergies are quite misunderstood by your orthodox healers, meaning our modern healers. And I don't even know if the others do. I guess they do, like natural healers, but... yeah, it's all very complicated, this whole thing. I don't know, honestly. So, all right, Jerome, they suggested Jerome, some friend of them, I guess. So, yeah, more information for them. I'm just going to continue reading, because I do want to finish this long answer. Ross says, the allergy may be seen to be the rejection upon a deep level of the mind complex of the environment of the mind-body-spirit complex. Thus, the allergy may be seen in its pure form as the mental-emotional distortion of the deeper self. Ah, this is very enlightening. So, this allergy is a rejection of the environment. So... let's talk about wanderers. Wanderers are those who come from different planets. It's not originally from here. So wanderers tend to have allergic reactions because there is a rejection of the environment. This is something that is not you, like you have something to heal, or maybe you can. I'm not even sure if my asthma is... it's a function of that, but it definitely developed when I was 9 months old, so possibly, I don't know. But wanderers are known to have allergic reactions, and that's because the vibration of their home planet is not compatible to this one, and so there is a deep portion of our minds that is rejecting it, sort of. And imagine that you're vibrating in a certain way, and then there is a vibration here that doesn't match, and that's the result. You have allergic reactions. So that's that, and that's definitely the case with Carla, because she was told by Ra that she was a wanderer, just like Jim and Don. And so, you know, a rejection upon a deep level of the mind complex of the environment in which she was. So again, I wouldn't worry about these things, because this is just how it is. I don't think it's a problem. I mean, other than the inconvenience, but it's not a problem in the deep sense of, I have something to heal. I am rejecting Earth. My God, but I love Earth. Don't worry about it. It's a structural thing. And if you can heal it, then great. You know, you won't heal it with worrying. So take that advice. But yeah, beautiful part. Okay, wanderers, let's move on. Ra says, the more general recommendation lies with the one which does not wish to be identified, There is a code name, Prayer Wheel. We suggest 10 treatments from this healer and further suggest a clear reading and subsequent following upon the part of the instrument of the priorities of energy, especially to your foodstuffs. So again, they recommend another person. This doesn't sound like an orthodox healer, a doctor from our modern medicine, but somebody else. And there's a code name, Prayer Wheel, because he doesn't want to be identified. And they suggested 10 treatments from him or her, I don't know. And also check the food. Yeah, that's important. Check the food. Okay, what else? Last part. They say, lastly, the effects of the working become apparent upon the walking when the body complex has begun to exert itself to the point of increased respiration. Also, a contributing factor is the number of your second density substances to which this environment is allergic. So those second density substances could be plants, it could be animal, whatever that may be. For example, I have we'll see, spring is coming, let's see how bad it is. But I tended to have a reaction to spring, pollen, not fall for some reason, but spring, a lot of people do. And so that's a second density substance. I think I also had, at some point, allergies to cats. So that's another second density, not to dogs. See, allergic to cats, not dogs. And speaking of cats, we're going to mention their cats. Huh, how funny. So yeah, all these are allergic reactions. Well, she had some second density substances that she was allergic to. We all have experienced some sort of allergy. And I think they're answering her question about why this happened when she was walking. The effects of this working, of the effect of the fifth density negative entity, become apparent upon the walking when her body just becomes tired, I guess, from breathing. Yeah, she gets to the point of being tired, and so she feels it. So that's it. That's the whole recommendation for Carla, and the end of this answer. What a long one. So let's move to a question. We'll probably leave it at question 9, because we're going to get now, speaking of cats, like I said, into the questions about cats. Let's get into cats. So here we go. Next question. Question 6. Don says, thank you. The second question is, our oldest cat, Gandalf, has a growth near his spine. Is there any factor that makes the surgical removal of this growth less appropriate than the surgical removal of the growth that we had performed a year ago last April? And would the most appropriate actions on our part to aid his recovery be the visualization of light surrounding him during the surgery and the repeating of ritual phrases at periodical intervals while he is at the veterinarian's? So, question about cats, their cats, has a growth, should they consider surgical removal, and so on. And so Ross says, no, there is no greater cause for caution than previously. And yes, the phrases of which you speak shall aid the entity, although this entity is in body complex old, another way, weird way of speaking. I'll talk about this. And therefore liable to danger from what you call your anesthetic. Its mental, emotional, and spiritual distortions are such that it is strongly motivated to recover, that it might once again rejoin the loved one. Keep in mind that this entity is harvestable third density. Okay, so I'm going to obviate a little bit the whole situation with the cat itself. It had a tumor or some growth and we're gonna get into that. It turned out to be cancer, of course, and the questions about, you know, what we should do. And so no process, no great consideration about, you know, caution, no more than before, at least. And yes, you know, all these phrases of love and surrounding the cat with light in visualization, it's helpful. And they say, although this entity is in body complex old, which means although this entity is old, his body is old. Actually, there's a little nuance here. You don't say this entity is old. The entity is in a body which is old. Interesting, of course. And so it is liable to danger of anesthetic. So, yeah, although it's sensitive to being in danger of anesthetic, they mention something important. Its mental, emotional, and spiritual distortions are, in essence, geared towards returning to their loved ones. This cat was so attached to Carla and Don that alone would help its recovery. Its desire his desire to go back to Carla and Don, and of course Jim, but Carla mentioned that they had this cat already. They got it when it was a kitten. It was just a little baby. And by 1983, when it had been like 15, 14 years, something like that, it had been a long time since they got the cat. So it was an old cat. And yeah, it was with them and it wanted to go back to him. We know this, us who have pets, how much they love us. And that's a very good motivation for them to stay alive, to want to go back to this beautiful environment that we create for them. See? And then they say, keep in mind that this entity is harvestable third density. Now there's something that Don is going to ask in the next question, and I'm going to cover that before we finish. Maybe a couple more questions. But keep in mind that this entity is harvestable for third density. We'll do a rundown on third density harvest again, very quick. Don says in question 7, would you explain the reason for saying, keep in mind that this entity, or that this is harvestable third death. Did Ross say that? Let's go back. That's not exactly what Ross said. Ross said, keep in mind that this entity is harvestable third density. All right, Don got it. Missed a word there. Keep in mind that this entity is harvestable third density, and tell me if you have any other specific recommendations with respect to the proposed operation on the growth. And so Ra says, we stated this in order to elucidate our use of the term spirit complex as applied to what might be considered a second density entity. The implications are that this entity shall have far more cause to abide and heal than it may seek the presence of the loved ones. Okay, so let me check something really quick. All right, we'll cover one more question. In fact, let's do it now, and we'll go back to this because Ron didn't answer. You see, Don asks here, do you have any other recommendations for the proposed operation? And Ron didn't answer it. So in question 8, Don says, is there any additional recommendation that Ron could make with respect to the proposed operation? And Ra says, no, that's why he didn't even mention anything in the previous question, question 7. So going back to question 7, or rather answer, which is why would Ra mention that Gandalf, right? That was Gandalf, by the way. They didn't mention its name here, but it's Gandalf for all of you Lord of the Rings fans and nerds like me. The Mire, let's see if anybody, I know that not many people watch this or listen to this, but let's see if anybody knows Gandalf's real name. Don't Google it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be dishonest. We talked about honesty before. See if you can find that name. It's in the Silmarillion, by the way. So if you didn't read it in the Silmarillion, you're not going to know it. But okay. The cat, Gandalf, beautiful name, by the way. It was harvestable third density, and they mention it because, well, that shows a lot more the love that they have, which makes me want to talk about second density to finish up this first part. So second density is very interesting, even for us who are in the path of spiritual evolution, because we can see what happens when we look at awareness becoming aware of itself. Second density, all animals, they all exhibit a sort of self-awareness. And that's why when you try to kill a fly or swat a fly or a mosquito, it flies away. It wants to preserve itself. See, it is aware that it exists. But it's not so fully aware that it exists that it can generate this feeling of identity. You know, it's just a very primitive form, insects in general, right? As we move along in what I call different categories of second density start to exhibit a lot more of self-preservation and more desire to commune with others. Plants do this. We just don't seem to speak the language of plants, but plants do this. They're very old, and they're very knowledgeable about each other. So they communicate with each other through, I forget what the right word is, but substances that they exude out of themselves, or even through the roots. We're just beginning to see how this is all interconnected. But again, plants are easily entities that can be possibly harvested to third density. But most noticeable is animals, especially mammals. In my own biases, that doesn't mean that other, say avians, for example, or reptiles can develop this. Of course they can. But mammals do exhibit something very similar to us humans. They need to nourish their offspring, and we just find it, you know, in our care, you know, when we look at mammals in general, they're a lot more, you know, close to us in terms of their love and how they behave with us. So we can see that they're starting to develop not only self-awareness that they exist, but also the fact that they want love. That's what they want the most, aside from food, you know, but that's a very instinctual response. Food and love, that's all they want, especially dogs. So yeah, this is, and you can see it. I don't need to convince you on this. So that is what develops the spiritual complex. That's why Ra said here, we stated this in order to elucidate our use of the term spirit complex. By the way, they didn't say spirit complex, they just said spiritual energies or something like that in the last part. They said it's spiritual distortions. So it means that it has a spirit, right? So that's what they're saying. We mentioned, or we said the word spirit because, well, it has a spirit in it. In question, I can't remember the question, maybe question 3 of session 19. I know it is in session 19 when Ra explains how animals become spirited, which they say they don't become spirited, actually, but just they realize within themselves that I am. See, that's the beginning of the spirit. The spirit is the creator, for the first time, saying, I am. I am this body. I am this mind. That's the first awakening that happens, and it happens with animals. We humans have an animal body, so we identify with mind and body, of course. That's third density life, identifying with mind and body. Fourth density is disidentifying from mind and body, and knowing that, no, you're not this limited being, you are something else. And that something else turns out to be the whole universe, the eternal one, and so on. So that's the process of second density to third density, and third density to fourth. Just wanted to refresh you on that. conclusions. So there is always some there's always some fear, of course, speaking of identifying with mind and body, and that's okay. You know, first I want to acknowledge that having fear of damaging your body or wanting to preserve your health and so on, it's a natural thing. We all want to do that because we enjoy this life so much. Just like the mosquito that I talked about before wants to fly away because it wants to preserve its experience. If it didn't want to, it wouldn't care being, you know, eaten or killed, right? But they have an instinctual reaction to say, hold on, I want to experience more of this life. But there comes a point where, you know, we all naturally die, and that's okay. So be not afraid of that. Sounds too much of a simple advice, but when you really understand what life is, there is no fear of death, because death is not real. It's just it's like going to sleep at night. You know, you're not afraid of going to sleep. You're not afraid of, you know, calming your mind for a moment. Where am I going to go? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Because you know what life is. Life is actually nothing. And because life is nothing, it can do this. And this is the doing of life. So life is not what's moving. Life is what's underneath the moving. You see? So worry not. And yet, it's fine to have a sense of self-preservation and wanting to be healthy and so on. That's fine. Okay, very short conclusion. Next time we're going to continue on cats arena. We're going to discuss more about their cats and the operation and so on. It's going to finish on that, I think. I don't know if there's anything else, but once again, I remind you that this is a session dedicated only to their personal material. It wasn't included in the original ones. It's only part of book 5. This is the point where I say thank you for listening. I appreciate you being interested in not only the Law of One, but in self-inner work. If you want to reach out to me, because this is what I do, I help with this, go to my Instagram and you can send me a text there or a DM. Just send me a personal message and we get talking. I have nothing else to say now but to remind you that the next part is going to be ending the session, and although it's going to be about cats, we'll try to make the best out of it. The internet has enough cats already, but it's Gandalf the cat. Take good care of yourself. I hope you're having a great day or good night, and I'll see you in part 2 of session 98.